Good morning once again, and we are now on chapter 7. Chapter 7 has its uniqueness, and the reason it has its uniqueness is because it's the initiating stage. And like anything that you initiate, your efforts are more counted, your efforts are more looked at when you actually at the project initiation stage. Now this stage is crucial because at any project, let's pick up a project that you might tomorrow do on some software, or a project in building a plant, or a project in where you have to create services all around in the organization. Initiation becomes a critical factor, and the way you initiate your project also defines what kind of results you would tomorrow, once the project is closed, are going to look for. So let's quickly move on to the objectives of this chapter, and the first objective being project initiation and definition phase of project focuses on building a sound foundation of project to take off. Stakeholders involved during this phase can be the highest, since it deals mainly in getting the inputs to prepare the final destination or final definition rather of a project. So if you look at it and if you realize what we're talking here is this project, you will find a lot of stakeholders in the project. You know why? Because everybody is involved in the project, and every time when you find that everybody is involved in the project, there's a lot of conflict, there is a lot of understanding in terms of how the project has to be done. If a project is an absolute no project, absolutely new project, then you might find that a lot of people are using a methodology which is called Agile. I've been talking about the Agile methodology, which means it's an incremental thing that people keep doing. And as they pass on that 100 meters, then they look for the other 100 meter. One of the best examples that I keep talking about is just consider you are driving from one destination to the other destination, and you are actually making a night drive. So how do you look at that drive? Are you able to view the longest distance? The idea is no. You actually see only the 100 meters, and you keep crossing the 100 meters, and the next 100 meters come up. So if you look at it, Agile methodology in any project which is absolutely new, where you haven't tried anything like that, you will find that the Agile is used. And that's exactly why project initiation phase, which is the first phase of a project, it becomes more important, and that's exactly the reason why everybody, all the stakeholders, right from the smallest to the biggest stakeholder. When I say biggest, I'm talking about the management or the board or the shareholders. Everybody gets involved into the project, and this is the stage which defines the destiny of a project. So while we have this one objective, the other objective that we have is, of course, time span wise, this may be the shortest phase, but management of this phase is very important, since the output of this phase shall be the basis of all subsequent phases and activities. Any flaw, inadequacies left during this phase will have a detrimental effect on the progress accomplished of the project objectives and may lead to delay in executing the project and overshooting the budget. So in initial chapters also, we have been speaking about how time and scope is important, and how budgets are important of a project. So if I do not plan well, if I do not initiate a project on the right track, it might actually delay my projects, it might actually delay, shoot up my budgets, it might consume more human resource, it might lead to few flaws, because then I have tight schedules, tight budgets, and a lot of other things as well. So part one, we're talking about that initiation as a project, initiation of a project becomes crucial in terms of man management, in terms of processes, in terms of systems, in terms of results, and the last but not the least, in terms of methods that I'm using to initiate the project. In this phase, as I'm critically saying, in this phase, all these stakeholders become very, very important and their roles become very, very important. Moving on to the next thing on project initiation, our learning objective that continues around this is the role of a project manager and marketing internal customers. It's very crucial since their input shall be based on initial communication. Any issues not resolved, not possible to resolve at this stage, must be recorded to identify the risk of uncertain areas. Now, what do we mean by this? I've been talking about that, you know, initial stage of any project is very important. Now, this is more behavioral in nature as well. Let's assume that a project that was built by a company to increase the customer satisfaction scores of an organization. So what do I mean by customer satisfaction scores? They wanted to test how satisfied is the customer, and they wanted to improve it. So there's an organization that they hired as a consultant, and they were project managers, and they were support staff of this. Now, if the project manager, if the consultant and the support staff doesn't look at the project in the same direction, the same achievement of the numbers, and do not set correct processes in place, then it becomes very, very difficult for the project owner to actually initiate a project. Now, what happens is every time when I initiate a project, so let's look at during the learning, when we go through the subsequent chapters, we need to have complete attention on few things. And one is, of course, finalizing the list of stakeholders. So there's a quick activity, what you got to do now is initiate or look at any project, your college project that you're doing right now, and find out the list of stakeholders. Now, when I say it's list of stakeholders, what we're going to talk about is the complete laundry list of people who are involved into it. So let's take an example. An example could be, say, I'm doing an environmental project, the Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, something that we have started initially. So, and in your around your college area, you got to maintain the cleanliness. So who all can be involved? And who do you think is important to in this project, or which HOD is involved, which professor should be involved, what are the kind of team members that you would require, is there any support from the local municipal corporation that you require, what is the periodic method, are you yourself going to do it, or are you going to outsource it? So entire laundry list of people who are involved into the project has to be finalized right at the beginning. Now why is it important? Because it doesn't give us surprises. So if I don't know, say I don't consider local municipal corporation's help, and then tomorrow you start something and they might just come out and say, all right, this is something out of your purview, and you won't be able to do this. So you get a surprise, once you've already started. So at the initial stage or at the planning stage, it becomes crucial that I have my entire laundry list of people. Now, this laundry list of stakeholders then would be categorized. There are various methods of categorizing. One of them is the color method. So when I say, okay, municipal corporation, and I tag them with a color called red, which means there are critical stakeholders. Or I tag my HOD, I tag my principal in red. Why? Because they're critical in terms of in terms of my project. Now, if at least the environmental project that we're talking about. So similarly, if you look at somebody who's passing by your college, also is a stakeholder. Why? Because he is an influencer. So if you keep cleaning and somebody else is littering around, it's going to affect your project. So you got to consider the person who's also walking. So you got to take care of how can you avoid this individual who's passing by your college or your premise not actually littering around and creating dirt around. So that also becomes an important factor. So he's also your stakeholder. So everybody, right from your municipal corporation to people who are working with you, under you, and of course the person who's walking by that road where your premise is there, all of them become your stakeholder. I hope this example will help you to identify what is the list of stakeholders that we're talking about. Preparing and communicating the proposed macro level project charter. Now, that's a new word that we are introducing, and I would dwell a little more on what a charter is. A charter is basically a document which defines that why am I doing this project, how am I doing this project, what am I doing this project with, who's involved into it, when it's going to happen, and of course how it's going to happen. So ideally it's about answering the questions that people might ask you tomorrow once you need to ratify that project with somebody. Now, it is also said in formal projects, it's also said that unless a project charter is formally signed by the stakeholders that are required, you wouldn't be able to begin your project. So initiation, which is planning, and of course a project charter, which is a document that talks about the entire method of how you're going to work out. So project charters are at different levels. So if you look at it, one of the project charter that I created was for an oil and gas company for increasing their decreasing their errors during an emergency situation. So that's a project. And this oil and gas company is close to 200 floors. I mean, not 200 ideally, but with parking and everything, they're close to 150. And I'm talking about a company called Qatar Gas. Now, Qatar Gas happens to be the world's largest LNG providers. Now, this building, or this HO, the headquarters of Qatar Gas, which is located in Doha, The people approached me that we would want to have a mechanism which minimizes our errors when we are in an emergency situation, because post a few incidents that have happened in tall towers, they were a little worried. So we started off with this project as a consultant with them, and we came up to consensus that how we're going to do this project. So first we created a two-pager document as a project charter, keeping the macro level things involved into it. So we were talking about having a project that was created for an emergency to decrease the errors during emergencies in a tall tower. So we first created a two-pager guide or an initiation document which spoke about why is it required and how can we it be prevented, what are the errors, what are the common errors that we've noticed across, and why is so it is the first macro level charter is more on the why part of it, and how why is the project more crucial, and why should we actually initiate the project. So that was the first level project charter, which was given to the top stakeholders of the organization. So moment I have as a project manager, I understand that the top managers and the top management is involved and they are happy with it, I would initiate that project and then go on to a micro level project charter. We'll also talk about micro level project charter and how that is created, because unless you have a document which talks about the project chart, which talks about your project, you will not be able to, in fact, do anything around it. So at every level, just remember that at every level as a project manager, you've got to go ahead and take a permission, or rather, it's not permission, but you've got to approve your charters at every level of your project. So getting inputs and requirements is also important, and this is what happens. In fact, if I have my project charter, which has actually been sanctioned at every level, it takes me more closer to the reality. So my project managers, my stakeholders, if they are all involved at the right stage, it helps me to get closer to the reality. Or else as a project manager, because it's a project that I have initiated, I'm always into my blues, you know, my project is the best and stuff like that. So we potential errors can go off if the stakeholders are involved into during creation of project charter and when we take their approvals. Why is it important? Because it actually helps me in organizing things, acquiring things, it helps me in communicating and developing good project teams. So a good project charter will always help me. As a document, it will help me to create a strong team, because I will understand what are the skill sets that are required. Acquiring them or outsourcing few things, setting up a communication plan, because as I told you, communication and stakeholding becomes the most crucial element of any project. So if I'm able to communicate well as a training manager, or as a project manager, for that matter, and of course as an organizer, and I have a great organizing skills, it will lead me to a better project manager. So quick things about what a project charter is. It's a document that states the why part of my project, and a little how part of my project. That's the macro level. Once you go on to the micro level project charter, it involves everything about the project, and it becomes a standard document that everybody in the organization should be aware about it, about that project. So quickly, what it takes us to understand is preparing macro level project plan. That's a project charter. We've been speaking about this. So reading through what's written on the slides as well. First and foremost, requirement for any project initiation is the appointment of a project manager. So in layman term, I always say that there has to be a father to a house. So there has to be somebody who leads the house. So if you look at it, I initially began with saying that life is a project in itself. It is important that I need a person who can lead my project. So that's exactly why an important one of a skill that is required. You need to have a project manager for every project. So that's one, which means there is an accountable person, there's a responsible person of that project. This appointment, the project manager is ideally appointed, will ensure the acquaintance and thorough understanding of the project. What should be the output? How can I lay out the schedule? How can I lay out the budgets? The project manager shall have the authentic input document in his custody. So ideally, your project charter is something that is very, very important for a project manager, because he's actually working around that. Few things that I immediately come to my mind, and you should realize this is I call it as the triple constraint. Now, when I say what is a triple, when I say triple constraint, I'll let you know what is a triple constraint as well. So just consider there is a triangle. One side of the triangle, which is the base of the triangle, is called scope of this. The other side, which is of the triangle, is called your budgets, and of course the third side is called time. So if I'm able to manage my budgets, my scope and my time, you will find that my projects are getting successful. So what is a quick skill of a project manager is managing scope, absolutely clear with the stakeholders. The second aspect of it is managing my budget well in time, because everybody wants to save money, and of course the most important again becomes is time, because the more I save time, the better am I equipped to face any risk or any uncertainties that my project will have. So that actually takes us to the other aspect of it as well, which talks about preparing a macro level project plan is a primary responsibility of project manager. So as I told you, that's a document that a project manager will initiate, and he has to initiate this because at the end of the day, when he's initiating this, he's also giving his stakeholders information that he's completely skilled and has complete acquired skills of delivering a project. So project charter is something that a project manager will have to create. Of course, initial project customers, marketing, sales, personals, business in charge in the organization. It could be anybody. Designing, planning, procurement, manufacturing, project executors shall be the key input providers to the project manager. So, ideally, what do I do as a project manager? I ensure before going to any project or initiating any project, I do a lot of Reiki. Now, I'm not talking about the vibrational Reiki, but I'm talking about the research Reiki. So when I'm saying about research Reiki, what do? I speak to everybody whom I feel will be interested in this kind of project. I speak to everybody who feel that it is a risk. I talk to everybody whom I feel as would feel that this is an opportunity. Now, this exercise of a project manager is very, very important. And the reason why is it important is, of course, it gives you the base level understanding of where you're going. Because, it is important. I need to know where am I going. And for a person who doesn't know where to go, actually any road is okay. So as a project manager, you can't just go haywire. It is important that you know where you're going and where you're heading towards. So quickly, ensure before you start or initiate any project, speak to a lot of stakeholders. I mean, speak to everybody that you feel might be involved, either physically, mentally, or will have interest commercially, or directly or indirectly. These are two words that you should remember. Anybody who can be directly or indirectly related to my project. And that's exactly an exercise before you do any project. I mean, if you begin any project without doing this, the chances that you're risking your project to a dead end are more. So just realize this, that I need to do an exercise before I start with any project, and that the exercise is called the Reiki exercise that we were talking about. So this helps me in designing, this helps me in planning, this helps me in procurement of things that I require for my project. This also helps me in creating a macro level plan. Now, when I say macro level plan, what do I mean by that? Ideally, having a plan which has a little roadmap, you see, and I at least need to know, though it is not clear right now, but at least I have a plan. This is what on a macro level that I'm going to do. So small nitty gritties over a period of time can be sorted out. However, you need to have the big picture right in front of you. A lot of project managers fail ideally or get in a rift around this is when they actually try to create a blueprint right at the beginning. So my method is, I don't create a blueprint right at the beginning. I create it once I have a macro level plan, I have the big picture, stakeholders are convinced about it, I know now that the project is going to go on, and then I go ahead and start off with the blueprint. Now when I say blueprint, it is a complete crystal clear plan of how my project is going to move from initiation to the closeout. So this gives me a little room or a leeway when I actually create a blueprint, because my stakeholders are convinced about the fact and they are convinced about the mechanism that this project is on or you should work around it, and I don't invest too much of time right at the beginning creating a blueprint. But because I have stakeholder commitment now, it becomes then it becomes my responsibility to create a complete clarity of the project, and unless I have my blueprint, I'm not going to get the complete clarity. So realize that at the initial stages, you got to create a project plan at a macro level, and that's the way I work. However, a lot of project managers actually spend time in creating the initial blueprint around it. For me, if the project is something that I've done in past, I do not go. I just go to the previous blueprint and I start working around it. Or I move in into a blueprint only once I have my stakeholder commitments. So this also is what we were talking about, consideration of a macro level project plan. So what should your project plan at the macro level have? One is, of course, you can have a scope. You need to have a scope statement. So what could be a scope statement? So by the end of this project, you would be able to save this money. or this is revenue by the end of this project. So it's the scope. So it is something that will lie or will start from one point and end at one point. So by the end of December 2015, we will be able to reduce what environment in terms of its fog, smog, whatever you want to call it, or we would be able to reduce the litter that's around my college, or we would be able to save so much money, or we will be able to create a product which is going to rock the market, anything. So it needs to have a scope. Now when I say scope, there are a lot of specific things, and I'm sure in the literature that you would get, it needs to have a output requirement. So what is the output requirement? It's the straight liners, this percentage of saving, this percentage of investments, this percentage of so it's a clear output requirement that we like. So what are the aids that I require to execute this project or to execute the scope is what your macro level plan should have. The next, of course, is the project quality requirement. So if it's environmental, do I need to check with the municipal corporation? One of the examples that I gave you, that's a requirement criteria. What is the level of Swachh Bharat that I'm looking at? So I need to define that quality right at the beginning. So if I'm working on a cost-saving project, what is the kind of quality that I will maintain in the product or the service and still go ahead and reduce my cost is what it means. So what are the quality requirements, whether it's ISO, whether it is from an appliance point of view, whether I have ISI marks on the product or AdMark product cost, AdMark logos around it. What are the quality requirements, and where all should it grow? So this becomes the acceptance criteria of my project, which means that if I'm saving a cost on a simple appliance, let's look at a refrigerator. I'm going to reduce the electricity consumed by a refrigerator by so watts. And still it will give me the result that I desire, which means the cooling. So without deteriorating the quality of cooling of that fridge, I'm going to reduce the electricity that's been used electricity used by the refrigerator. So that becomes my acceptance criteria. If it goes below that, and the work that I'm doing or the utility of the a refrigerator goes down, then that's not the quality that I'm talking about. All right, so that becomes acceptance criteria. Stages and sequence of the outputs. So to give you a financial example around this, if I have a project which talks about it's going to give me in stage one, it's going to give me X amount. In stage two, it's going to give me X plus one. Stage three, it's going to give me X plus two. So I have every stage, I'm going to have some output in terms of money, not necessary in terms of quality, always necessary in terms of human resource. I got to have these stages planned. And before I have the stages planned, I need to have a sequential output around it. So which means, why is it important? These are also called as toll gates, by the way. So when I say toll gates, what do I mean by that? Let's take this quick example again. Once again, if I'm traveling from one place, say Mumbai now, to a place called a hill station called Mahabaleshwar, I have around five tolls to be paid. And every toll I pay, I understand that I'm getting closer to my destination, which means that I'm on the right track. So hence it is important that I have toll gates. Now when I say toll gates, that toll gates need to have output. So to give you a toll gate example, to give you a toll gate statement, it could say that, okay, in 15 days, is the first toll gate of the project from the day of initiation, that I will have a certain change, say minuscule, say 1% change in the quality of the product, or I might reduce the time of delivery in 20 days. So that 20 days becomes the time, the duration I got to execute that, and 20th day becomes my toll. Okay, now that's how a toll has to be put in. Why? Because you not necessarily you only doing a 1 month project or a 2 month project. There are projects that goes years long. You know, so we in last chapters that we've spoken about considering a Bhakran Angle Dam or a Koina Dam that's built in Maharashtra. Years have passed. I mean, that's the first dam that we've built post independence, and that's built by Indian engineers. And it was done fabulously well. However, the planning was done very critically, and they knew exact toll gates when they're going to achieve it and how they're going to achieve it. So toll gates become very critical, and toll gates need to have your output statements as well. So capability of for executing the project with available resources. You need to clearly define what is the level of quality, budget and time that you would require to deliver this project with available resources. And also request for new resources if required. So that's something that you would have. The next thing that your project plan should have is, of course, requirement of hired resources. So, or professional services. One of the examples that I just gave about Qatar Gas is me being a consultant to them to reduce their risk during the emergency things. So you can hire professional services around it. You can be one, of course, tomorrow. So detail about the end user or the customers. So who's going to ultimately it affect? So if I'm doing a emergency, picking up the same example, if I'm doing an emergency, reducing risks at the emergency, during the emergencies for Qatar Gas, it's going to be impacted? All the employees working in the organization, it's going to get impacted. It's going to get impacted to the families. It's going to get impacted to the society around the building or around the premise of Qatar Gas. So I need to have a complete document which talks, or rather paragraph in my plan which completely talks about who is it going to direct and indirectly impact. So that is exactly why this also becomes not necessary that everything is tangible in what you're writing when it comes to impact or details about the end user. So when I say details about the end user, it should tell us what are they doing, where are they doing, why is at risk, and a lot of other things as well. So project specific organizational strategy. So I'll still go ahead and give you the same example. So the strategy is oil and gas industry is a high risk industry. So unless safety becomes the prime importance in the strategy of an organization, these kind of projects don't initiate. So if you remember the last few chapters when I said that your project, your organizational strategy plays a very important role in the projects that are delivered in the organization. So because safety, oil and gas is something which is absolutely high risk sector, it is important that I have a safety measure to it. So safety is our organizational strategy, is a part of organizational strategy to ensure that people are safe. And the moment we say the people are safe, this project becomes integral. The emergency risk project becomes integral for this. So I need to know how and when is it important, and how is it being drilled down into the organizational strategy. Methods of financial allocation. So who's going to take care of the finances? How it's going to happen? When would people invest? Are there external funding coming up? Is there a venture capitalist? Is there somebody who's going to fund it internally? Is it something that's going to come from the government? So you got to decide how the financial allocation is going to happen, and at what level do you require what kind of a money? If you remember the last example that I gave about was the NHRD, rather, sorry for that, but not NHRD, NSDC, the government program currently in India that's moving around, which talks about skill development. So when I say skill development, they have appointed consultants to do this, but they don't get paid every time. So the funds that are allocated for NSDC is close to 1200 crore rupees. I mean, that's a big money that government is putting in. And when they're putting in this money, it has to be allocated correctly, which means which location the skill development is required. So states in India are at different levels. So Maharashtra, if you look at it, because there's a city like Bombay, there's a city like Pune, Nagpur. So we almost have 3-4 cities, major cities, which have a lot of scope of work. And so skill development in Maharashtra, vis-a-vis compared to a state like Jharkhand, where less opportunities are there, it is crucial that I start investing more there. So based on my geographical territory and the requirements, my funds are allocated to those states as well. So if you look at it, for preparing a macro level plan and to ensure it is its coverage, it is advised to have a generic form checklist that can be used for all projects and will reduce the chance of missouts. So your the literature that you will have, the books that you will have, will also have some formats of how a project charter is created. And by the way, these formats have to be used throughout the projects when you're creating documents. Few other things that we talk about when we create a project plan, and as I said, I was going to give you the details. We've already spoken about this, with what is a scope, and let's look at what a scope is. If I read through the slide that's there, which you are able to see, which says that project scope must be mentioned in explicit terms for both physical material and documentation required for all aspects. So that's the project scope. It's a very important statement that I give in a project, because once my scope changes, my entire budget changes, my time changes, my human resource changes, everything changes the moment my scope changes. Project output requirement, apart from the scope of supply, this will help specifically or specify the utilities needed. Erection equipments needed. You know, if I'm talking about maybe building towers, so I need a lot of equipments around it. License to follow the regulations. So I need to have licenses. So in giving an example of building a tower for telecom company, I need a license from telecom industry. I require licenses from TRAI. I need licenses from the local municipal corporations. I require licenses from the state. I require licenses from the central government. So lots and lots of licenses are required to conduct that kind of an activity. Engineering services required. So I can't just pick up anybody. I need people who are acquainted by it. I need people who know about it. I need people who have worked in similar projects in past. So that's more or less what an output requirement is. Project quality requirement, as I said, the inspection stage, documents, standards, specific requirements must be known at the beginning. Why? Because it changes your scope. My dear friends, it is important that I have a strong project quality requirement, because the moment my quality requirements change, my scope changes. My scope changes, my budget is going to hit. My budget is going to hit, my human resource is going to hit. My human resource gets hit, my time is going to get hit. So just remember that everything is connected. It's like a cobweb. You know, you can't pull out one thing, and which is absolutely, we call isolated. Everything is integrated, and everything around a project is integrated. So man, machine, tools, methods, everything all put together actually creates a project. So it's important that I have my quality requirement very, very clear.